You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We know historically there was a famous debate in the Middle Ages. The Christians used to force the Jews, used to force the Rabbonim to have debates with them about religious matters. So there was a famous debate between the Ramban and a Jew who became a Meshumad, and the Ramban won the debate. And he explained why Christianity is all over the Zohar and it's Kula Sheker. And he realized, although he won the debate, he can be killed by the church. So he ran away, he snuck out of Europe and he ran away to Eretz Yisrael. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, he went to Yerushalayim and there was barely a minyan there. He davened in what is now known, that location now known as Beis HaKnesses or Ramban. And he writes that he gave a drosh on Rosh Hashanah. It must have been a drosh Hashanah. A drasha for 5-6 hours or something, because he wrote up everything that he said. And quite a few of the points that he has are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So one famous point that he has is that the Mishnais tell us that the Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin. Rosh Hashanah Yikosev and Yom Tzom Kippur Yechosemon. Where does it say this in Tanakh? Usually whenever the Gemara has an idea, so they say, Minolon, and they quote a pasuk in Tanakh. Here there's no pasuk in Tanakh. So the Ramban thinks that it must have been a tradition. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Rishon on the sixth day of Sheishis Mei Bereishis. And on the same day that he was created by Tzav Hashem Elokim Al HaAdam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the six mitzvahs. We always talk about Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. The seventh mitzvah wasn't given till after the Mabul, because Adam Rishon, till after the days of the Mabul, they had to be vegetarians. They weren't permitted to eat flesh. Not only were they not permitted to kill animals, they weren't permitted even to eat flesh that's Mesa Me'leha, even if they wouldn't kill the animal. So after the Mabul, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave permission to Noach to eat the meat, so he said, until now, human beings were only permitted to eat fruits and vegetables and grains. Now they can eat flesh also. So then they were given the seventh of the Sheva Mitzvah. They're not permitted to eat Eiv Melachai. But the first six of the Sheva Mitzvah were given to Adam Rishon, same day he was created. That's probably what it means in the Medrash on the Pasuk, Hashem Ori V'Yishi, Ori V'Rosh Hashanah Yishi B'Yom HaKippurim. Yom Kippur is a day Mechilas Avonos for Klal Yisrael. So that's a Yeshua. When your Avonos are forgiven, that's a Yeshua. Why is Rosh Hashanah Ori? So the Pashto says, because the Gemara in Bav Metzia has a comment on the Pasuk in Baruch HaNafshi. Toshes Chosha V'Hi Loilo Boisur Mas Kal Chayso Yar, that it's dark outside and the animals start roaming around in the jungle. They come out of the jungle. What is that a description of? So the Gemara says, Elam Hazeh Shedoyim El HaLayla. Elam Hazeh is very dark. It's like nighttime. Why is it dark like nighttime? So the Mesillas Yesharim writes in his introduction that at night you can make two types of mistakes. You can see a human being and think that it's a lamppost. You can see a lamppost and think that it's a human being. You can make a mistake, limal yusa, thinking higher of the thing that you bumped into, or ligri yusa, thinking lower of it. So, boile mazel, a lot of people make mistakes. We look at averis and we think they're mitzvahs. Oh, it's a mitzvah to tell lashon hara about this person. He's a terrible person. And we look at the mitzvahs and we think that they're averis. You come to Yom Ha'atzmaut, more than half the Jews in the world are celebrating. And some people are sitting on the floor and saying kinnis. They consider the Hakamas HaMedina the greatest tragedy since the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'chayr Enayna B'sar Asecho. If it's dark, so the Rebbe Shalom gives us He'ore. He gives us illumination by learning Torah. Every time we do a mitzvah, it gives a little bit of illumination. That's the Pasuk Yiner Mitzvah. The Torah Or, when you perform a mitzvah, it gives a little bit of illumination, like a little candle, in their mitzvah. However, when you learn Torah, Torah is like a torch. It gives much more illumination, and it lasts longer. The Gemara says that when a person learns Torah, he will be protected from doing averis not only Bidna da Asik Bay, not only while he's learning the Torah, even later on, for the rest of the day, he'll also be protected from doing Averis. So that's probably what he means. Ori Barosh Hashem Ori V'Yishi Yishi B'Yom HaKippurim Yom Kippur is a day Mechilas Avinus. So that's Yeshua. Well, why is Rosh Hashanah a day of Heora illumination? Because Adam Arishon was given the basics of Torah, the six mitzvahs B'nei Noach, the day that he was created. Then he was also told not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So the Ramban quotes the Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer, that an hour or two later, he was instructed not to eat Neitz Hadas. He didn't have enough self-control even to wait a little bit. Rabban the Melchamis, in the beginning of Chulin, quotes a Medrash that Adam Rishon was created on Erev Shabbos. He wasn't permitted to eat from the Neitz Hadas until Leil Shabbos. If he would have had self-control till Leil Shabbos, he would have been permitted to eat from the Neitz Hadas. He didn't have self-control to wait till Leil Shabbos. An hour or two after he was created, he already sinned. He was judged on the same day that he sinned, and he was punished and chased out of a Gan Eden on the same day. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, this is all in the Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer. The Bir Agro quotes it on Hilchas Rosh Hashanah in Shulchan Aruch. So he was told that just like I judged you today, so too I will judge all of your descendants, the Jews and the non-Jews. Everyone will be judged on Rosh Hashanah. So the Ramban says, how do we know that the Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin? So he writes in his drasha, this was an oral tradition in the days of Adam Arishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam Arishon, just like I judged you today, so too I will judge your children, all of your descendants. Adam Arishon told it to his children, they told it to their children. This was a tradition by all the Yom HaSa'olam. In fact, and Mabit, who was together with Rabbi Yosef Karo in the 1550s in the Bezn and Sfat, Mabit wrote a sefer. I forgot the name of the sefer on Hashkofa. So he, Beis Elokim, it's called Beis Elokim. Now they have the new printing has paragraphs, periods, and it's easier to read, has nekudas. It's very nice. It's a very beautiful sefer on Hashkofa, very easy. He explains everything very well. Meshe Chochma quotes it a lot. Others quote it. So the Mabit writes that not only is Rosh Hashanah the Yom HaDin for the Umma Soilom, the idea of Aseres Yemei Tshuva also applies to the Umma Soilom. That Yom Kippur is a day, Mechilas Habainas, that's only for Bnei Yisrael. Because just like Hashem said, and Yom Kippur Salachti Kidvarecha, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luch HaShnias on Yom Kippur. Kadosh Baruch Hu forgave Bnei Yisrael because of the Chet HaEgel. So to the Doris, he said he will forgive Bnei Yisrael. So Yom Kippur being a Yom Mechilas HaBeinus, that's only for Bnei Yisrael. But the Yom HaDin Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, that it's more shayach for people. It's easier for people to do tshuva. Dush Hashem Behimotso. The Navi tells us we should try to search for HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that season of the year when he makes himself more accessible. So that's in Aser. The Gemara said that's in Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Behimotso is in Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So the Beis Elokim, the Mabid writes, he thinks that that's relevant for the Yom HaSoilam as well. That Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin, Yom Kippur is the Gemara HaSima, Rosh Hashanah Yikoseven, Yom Kippur Yikoseven. And Aseres Yemei Tshuva, it's easier for the Nochem also. Easier for the Nochem to do tshuva that season of the year. So this is, the Ramban has his famous explanation that this was an old tradition, Rosh Hashanah the Yom HaDin. Adam Arishon told it to his children, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to tell his children. He has there, the Ramban has a chiddush in Shofar that doesn't appear in any other sources. He says the word Shofar is Miloshin Shfoferis, a tube. So if you have an animal that has a solid horn, that's not kosher for mitzvah shofar. Has to be a horn that has basar inside. And when you scrape out the basar and then you make a hole, then it's going to be a shofar. So that's, if it doesn't have any basar inside to scrape out, then it's not a shofaris. It has to be something that looks already now like a tube. If it's solid horn, then it's Keren. And Keren, the Gemara says, is not acceptable for the mitzvah of Shavuot. So this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch from that Rosh Hashanah Ramban. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch quotes a suffix from the Ran on the Rif. In the end of Rosh Hashanah, writes a suffix whether if you have a shofar from a behemoth tmeya, is that permissible to use for the mitzvah of shofar? The Ramah quotes the Ran as if he said that it's puzzle. The Ran didn't say puzzle. Ramban said the Ran on the Rif writes he's not sure. What's the shaila? Because the Gemara says in Perek Bamem Adlikin, when you write sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah on parchment, has to be parchment from a behemoth tahora, because you're writing psukim. And sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah, you're writing psukim. And the pasuk says, "Leman tia Torah Hashem beficha, menamuta beficha." Whenever you're writing Torah Hashem on cloth, the cloth has to be from a kosher animal. It can't use from a non-kosher animal. So the Gemara says, but that only explains why the cloth has to be the cloth that you're writing the parsha on, or the shal rosh, because it has a shin. The bay shal rosh has a shin on the outside. So one letter of Torah is also called Teres Hashem. So the bay shal rosh has to be kosher cloth. What about the ritzuas of the tefillin? You have no osius on the, there are no debri Torah there. Or what about the bay shal yad? Doesn't have any osius on the outside of the bay shal yad. How do you know that that has to be from a kosher animal? So the Gemara says, that's a gemiri. That's what we usually assume gemiri means, halacha moshe misinai, l'huchshru l'malech shamayim, alor behemah tahor belvad. Since you want to use it for ritzuah, so you want to use it for a bayu shal yad, even though the no divitara written on it has to be from a kosher animal, that's a tradition. Torah shel Baal Peh has such a tradition. The Gemara says, the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu constructed had Oris Tachoshim. Tachash was an animal that existed in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says it doesn't exist now. But the Gemara says it must have been a kosher animal. It had to be Malager Mafis Parsa, otherwise it wouldn't be a kosher animal, because he can't use it for the Mishkan. The Mishkan is a Malach HaShamayim. So just like he can't use Or Behemoth Meya for the Ritzuas of the Tefillin or for the Bayashal Yad, even though there's no Osius written on the Ritzuas or on the Bayu Shal Yad, because the Huchshu L'malach HaShamayim, so too the Irias, the Oris Troshim, is also Malach HaShamayim. So that's a question in Rishonim. We divide all religious articles that we use for the sake of fulfilling mitzvahs into two categories, the Gemara and Megillah. Has a Braisa. Some are described as Tashmishi Gedusha, some are described as Tashmishi Mitzvah. Let's say, what do you do with an old lulav and an esrog after Sukkot is over? Gemara says, strictly speaking, you throw it in the garbage, you don't put it in the Shemus. It's not ton geniza. What do you do with an old Sefer Torah, or an old, even a mentala from a Sefer Torah, or a gartla of a Sefer Torah? What do you do with an old Aron Kodesh? So the Sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah, that's the guf HaKdusha. The tefillin zekel is Tashmishi Kedusha. The cardboard box is Tashmishi Kedusha. Let's say you have a mezuzah. So the cloth of the mezuzah is a guf HaKdusha. It has the psukim written on it. The plastic cover on the outside, or the cellophane wrapper that you wrap the parsha in, let's say you check the mezuzah and you want to put on a new cellophane wrapper. What do you do with the old cellophane wrapper? Has no Dibri Torah written on it at all, but that's Tashmishi Kedusha. So Tashmishi Kedusha on the Gnozim. Even after the Zman HaMitzvah is up, even after the mezuzah is so puzzled, let's say if Torah is so puzzled, it's not shaykh to correct it. To fix it has too many mistakes. So you have to put, not only put the Sefer Torah in Sheamus, you have to put the mentala in Sheamus, and the mezuzah cover, that's called Tashmishi Kedusha on the Gnozim. Tashmishi Mitzvah on the Zrokim. If you want, you can throw it out in the garbage. What do you do with the old esrog, the old lulav? You throw it in the garbage. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rashba, who quotes the Ravid, shouldn't throw it together with the dirty diapers. It shouldn't put it together with the chicken bones or with the fish bones. Put it in a separate bag and then throw it in the garbage. So that's a big dispute in the Rishonim, whether this lehuchshu l'malach shah gemiri. We have this gemiri, Rashi and Tosfos usually assume gemiri means halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Not everybody agrees that that's what it means, but that's why Rashi and Tosfos and the Rosh let that they assume. Gemara says Gemiri Luchshu L'Malach Hashemayim Alor Behem Torah B'Levad. So that's a big discussion in Rishon whether that only applies to Tashmishei Kedusha or even applies to Tashmishei Mitzvah. There's a discussion that Rabbi Behuda's son has a discussion of the Chilazon, the blue dye that you put that serves as trellis for tzitzis has to come from a chilazon. It could be that the blue dye for the big dekuna that's trellis, that's a question. Maybe it doesn't have to be from the chilazon. That's a question. But for tzitzis, the Gemara of the Feirish has to be from the chilazon. So now they claim that it's a shell worm. It's not a kosher fish. So that's a. So now the Yehuda's son has a discussion of that. Do we have to assume that the chilazon is a kosher animal? Because otherwise, how can you use it for the mitzvah of tzitzis? Or maybe it doesn't pose a problem. Maybe since tzitzis is only tashmishi mitzvah, it's not tashmishi kedusha. That's number one. Then number two, even if it would have been tashmishi kedusha, maybe it's only chazusa, it's only the dye. Maybe we should assume chazusa lav milsehi. It's considered as if it's balua in the trellis strings. It's not really bien, so maybe that's not a problem. But this is a big machlokes in the Rishonim, whether this halacha l'moshe mesida, so to speak, l'huchshuru l'malach shamayim alor behem ator belvad, does it only apply to tashmishei kedusha? Like the Oris Choshim and the Mishkan has Kedusha and the Ritzuas have Kedusha because it's part of the Tefillin. Or does it even apply to Tashmishei Mitzvah like Chilazon? Chilazon giving the dye in the Trelis or Tosis Kotzer Abin Atam that the sandal shall Chalitza, there's a Machlokes in Nigmar whether the Chalitza shoe has to be Megan. If the Yavama just takes off the socks of the Yavam, that's not acceptable. Because the sock is not Megan, doesn't protect the foot. What if you have a pair of sneakers that's Megan, or wooden shoes, anything other than leather? So that's a machlokes hatanoim and a machlokes in the Rishonim, how we paskin. Some of the Rishonim paskin, the Balamor paskins, that even wooden shoe is also acceptable for chalitza. But the generally accepted opinion is, like the Rambam wrote, that it has to be or, that the chalitza shoe has to be made from leather. Because the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yecheskel that it would appear that it's only called Enolech Tochash. The pasuk in Yecheskel describes the way the Rabbanu Shel Olam delivered a baby, the Jewish people. After Yetzias Mitzrayim, we were developed into a whole nation, as if he delivered a baby. And the baby, he washed off the baby, and he smeared him with oil, and he put on diapers, and then when the baby got a little older, he made shichalach, he made little leather shoes for the baby when he was able to walk. So the pasuk says, "Ve'en olech tochash, I made na'alayim, I made shoes for this baby." The Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was developing Klal Yisrael till we developed to full nationhood. So he made the shoes from tachash, and tachash is an animal. The Gemara says tachash is a kosher animal. So the Rabbein Atam says that for chalitza purposes, it has to be from a kosher shoe, from a kosher animal. Because chalitza is a tashmishei mitzvah, you use the chalitza shoe to fulfill a mitzvah. The Yisra and Yom Kippur, the Pashtus, you're not allowed to wear leather shoes. Probably does make a difference whether it's horse leather or behemot Torah or behemot Tmei, as long as it's leather. But if you want to use a chalitza shoe, that has to be from or behemot Torah. So that's the chalitza shoe is not a tashmishei kedusha; it's a tashmishei mitzvah. So that's a big machlokes whether this din l'huchshon l'alach shamayim alor behemot Torah b'levad does it only apply to the tashmishei kedusha, tashmishei mitzvah as well. So the Ramah quotes that from the Ran that the shofar, if you get a shofar from a behemot tmeya, you're not allowed to use it for the mitzvah. Because even he's assuming, even in Tashmishei Mitzvah also, We insist it has to be from a behemoth, or it can't be a behemoth male. If you look in the Hagos Maimini on the bottom of the page in the Rambam, those who learn Rambam know, you have on the page of the Rambam, you have different Meforshim. You have the Magen Mishnah, and the Kesef Mishnah, and the Lechem Mishnah, and the Mishnah Lamelech, because the Sefer of the Rambam is called the Mishnah Torah. So everything is called the Mishnah. Magen Mishnah, Lechem Mishnah, Kesef Mishnah, Mishlam, everything is Mishnah. So so these are all commentaries on the Rambam. Then you have the Raibid writes Hasogis, and the Migdalois always defends the Rambam from all the Hasogis of the Rambam. Then you have on the bottom of the page of the Rambam, you have the Agos Maimini, which has nothing to do with the Rambam at all. Agos Maimini just tells you what did the Balei HaTosis have to say about the topics that are discussed in the Rambam. Then you have the Tshuvas Maimini at the end of each one of the 14 sections in the Rambam. We call it by the nickname Yad HaChazaka. The real name is Mishneh Torah, the Sefer of the Rambam. But we usually call it the Yad HaChazaka because there are Yud Dalet Svarim, the 14 Svarim in the Rambam. So at the end of each Sefer, there's a collection of Tshuvas that has absolutely nothing to do with the Rambam. At the end of Torah Minita, at the end of each section, Hilchas Mechira, Hilchas Shabbos V'Yontif, and every section, there are Tshuvas by the Balei HaTosis. They didn't know the Rambam has nothing to do with the Rambam at all. So the Gos Maimini was put together by one of the Talmidim of the Maharam Rutenberg. Maharam Rutenberg was put in prison by the Goyish government to hold up the Jewish community for the ransom money. And he instructed that the Rosh was a wealthy man. And he was going to put up half the money to redeem the Maharam Rutenberg from prison, and who was going to collect the rest of the money. Maharam Rutenberg said, you're not allowed to, because they were asking an exorbitant amount of money, and that's not right. So he said he should die in prison, and he should rot away in the prison. They shouldn't redeem his body even after he dies. So they had nothing against the Maharam Rutenberg. So every day the Talmidim came to talk and learning with the Maharam. So the Rosh and the Agos Maimini and the Mordechai, they came every day, and they were picking up learning. Maharam Rutenberg was the end of the Tkufas Balei HaTosis. So on the first page in Hilchas Yom HaKippurim in the Rambam, on the bottom of the page, he has a whole discussion, has nothing to do with the Rambam, has a whole discussion whether one is permitted to fast on Rosh Hashanah. So Yom Adin is an Eis Tzora. An Eis Tzora, we usually fast. Min HaTorah says, Chisavim Mocham, Chayavim Mocham, Chisavim Mocham, B'Yartzachem, Al Atzar Tzareshem, Hari Yosem, Chatzotzi, supposed to blow Chatzotzvis, and Davin. So the Rambam says, Mitzvah says, Min HaTorah, Lizok Ulohariya. Lohariya means to blow the Chatzotzvis. Lizok means to Davin, special Tfilas, Tfilas B'Yes Tzora. And then that's Min HaTorah. And then Midibre Soifrim is Lehisanis, that you should fast. So there was a tradition from the days of the Balei HaTosis. Many of the Balei HaTosis would fast on Rosh Hashanah. So that's a question. What do you mean fast on Rosh Hashanah? But we have a nusach of the Kiddush for Rosh Hashanah. Who invented Kiddush? You have to drink the wine. If you say Broch Al HaKos, you don't drink the wine, you're not Yotzei the Broch Al HaKos. You can't say Kiddush Ela B'Makom Suda. So obviously you are eating. So the Balei HaTanya in his Siddur explains that this practice that many of the Rishonim had to fast on Rosh Hashanah because it's a Yom Adin. Yom Adin is an Eis Tzora. That's only Bayom. When we assume that the judgment, the Mishpat, and Bezon Shalmaila is Bayom, the daytime of Rosh Hashanah. Balayla, Leil Rosh Hashanah, there's no din. That's why it says you shouldn't sleep on Rosh Hashanah. You're allowed to sleep Leil Rosh Hashanah. Well, you should wake up before the crack of dawn. Today, I don't think too many people do that, but that's what the meaning used to be. Used to wake up before Alos HaShachar, not to sleep during the daytime. But Leil Rosh Hashanah, there's no Mishpat, there's no Din, and therefore everyone agrees that you have to say Kiddush, and you have to eat a Suda. We don't paskin like that opinion. We paskin that it's not proper to fast on Rosh Hashanah, but we do rely on the fact that there was such a Shita for two things. A few things. So number one, We have a woman in Shulchan Aruch from the Balei HaTosfos. It's not from the Gemara. Balei HaTosfos came up with this. Then on a regular Shabbos and Yontif, you have to start eating. You have to make Kiddush and start eating the first Suda in the morning before Chatzos. Because if you won't eat anything until Chatzos, that's what they call Hascholas Tainus. If you start eating it, usually you have breakfast at a 7:45 or something, or 7:30, whatever. But on Shabbos and Yontif, if you postpone a little bit, so it's a late breakfast. But if you postpone till after Chatzos, that's called Tchilas Hatainus. Where they get that from? That if you don't eat anything until after Chatzos, that's called Tchilas Hatainus. So that's a Mishnah in Tainus. In the days of the Tanoim, they would sometimes be goes at Tainus because there was Atziras Gishomim. There wasn't enough rain. Today, if there isn't enough rain, so it's not a problem of a Sakona. For the people, it'll cost a lot of money, but they know how to desalinate the water. But years ago, in the days of the Tanaim, until recently, they didn't know how to desalinate the water. So it wasn't just a question of spending money. It was a question of Sofik Sakana. So there would be Goyza Tainus. So what happens if the Bezdin was Goyza Tainus and everybody's fasting and then it starts to rain in the middle of the day? Are you So the problem was solved. It's pouring. There's enough rain to solve the whole problem. So do you say, since we don't need the Tainus anymore, HaKadosh Baruch already changed the gzera, he gave rain, so you're allowed to eat? Or do you say, no, since you started to fast, you should finish? So the Mishnah has Tanoim who say, if you did a Hascholas HaTainus already, then you have to finish the rest of the day, even though it rained. So there's a difference of opinion, what's called Hascholas HaTainus. So we paskin Chatzos. If the rain comes down before Chatzos, and any Tainus Gishomim, then it's considered you didn't even begin fasting yet. You're having a late breakfast. But if it doesn't rain until after Chatzos, that means they just started Hascholas HaTainus. So that's usually, we assume like that on a regular Shabbos and Yontif, you have to take Kiddush and start eating the meal before Chatzos. Unless you had a drink before you went to Daven in the morning. So you're not allowed to eat or drink anything before Davening. To drink water is a machlokes. So we're mekel on water. We're mekel, you're allowed to drink water before Davening Shachris. If one is afraid that there's a bar mitzvah, an oifruf or something going to take a long time, or that a chazan with the choir is going to take a long time, you're not going to get home to make kiddush to left the chatzah, so you should make sure he has a drink of water before shachris. After any damas shachris, you can't have a drink of water. You're not allowed to drink water before kiddush. And you have to start making kiddush before chatzos, otherwise that'll be hascholos hatainus. So in Shulchan Aruch it says that even though we don't follow that opinion, that we don't recommend anybody should fast on Rosh Hashanah. We assume it's not permissible. But you're not mechuyev to be so machmer that you have to. We say so many piyutim, it takes forever. So we finish way in yeshivas and many shuls, they finish after chatzos. I live in the Breuer's neighborhood in Washington Heights. So they start very early in the morning. They start 6 o'clock in the morning. So they're always home by chatzos. They make kiddush on Rosh Hashanah before Chatzos, but everybody else, most of the shuls, especially in yeshivas, they don't finish before Chatzos. So that will make a lot Rosh Hashanah. You don't have to have a drink of water before you go to Daven, because there was an opinion that you're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. So we rely on that opinion and get to not being machmer about the Chatzos. Then there's another discussion. If a person benches on Shabbos and Yontif, and he forgets the Tzeritzeya, Yalav Yavoy, so the Gemara says he has to bench over again. Why is that? He's not Yotze, the Birchus HaMazon. So Rav Soloveitchik explained with many Nafkaminas, Lahaloche, the benching is Yotze, even if he doesn't say Ritzeya, Yalav Yavoy. He's not Yotze, the Suda. You have to be Kaveh, the Suda Shabbos, or the Suda Yontif, L'Shem Suda Shabbos. How do you do that? By saying Kiddush in advance, by saying we'd say in the Birchas HaMazon at the end. So at the beginning and the end, you said today's Shabbos, today's Yontif, so that's Kaveh the Suda, the Shem Suda Shabbos. So let's say a person benches on Shabbos, forgot to say we'd say, or he benches on Yontif, forgot to say Yalav Yavai. So he's Yotze the benching, but he's not Yotze the Suda. So we should really tell him he should eat another Suda. So the Chachamim were Mekel, even though it's a Chashash of a Brachol of Atola, You're going to say the benching all over again. He already did bench. He was Yotze benching. In a certain sense, the second time when he benches, Bracha Levatola. So the Chachamim were Mekel, we permit you to recite Birchas Hamazon a second time in order to be kaveh the Suda as a Suda Shabbos, rather than require of the person that he should eat another Suda and say Kiddush again and say Ritzay again. So on Rosh Hashanah, because there was such an opinion that yet they're permitted to fast, some even recommended it's Kedai to fast on Rosh Hashanah, it's the Yom Adin. So if a person ate, he made Kiddush on Yom Tov morning, Rosh Hashanah morning, and he ate, and then he forgot to say Yalav Yov in the benching. So according to half of the Rishayim, according to a lot of Rishayim, you're not supposed to eat at all. And you don't have to be kaveh the Suda, the Shem Suda, Siyantu. You're not supposed to have any Sudas Ayom, only Balayla. So that's what the Balatanya writes in his Siddur. He says, if you forget Yalav Yov, Leil Rosh Hashanah, nobody says that we recommend to fast on Leil Rosh Hashanah. We say, got to say Kiddush. You have to say Kiddush ala kos, ala yayin, and you have to have Kiddush Mokum Suda. So if you forgot to say Yalav Yov, Leil Rosh Hashanah, you would have to bench over like any other Yantu. But if one forgot to say Yalav Yov in the Birchas Hamazon on Yantav Rosh Hashanah in the daytime, so then we would say that it's a Sofik Brachas L'Hokel. Maybe you didn't have to have the Suda at all, and you don't have to be kaveh the Suda, the Shem Suda Siyantav, by saying Yalav Yov, so there's no need to repeat it. So whenever you have a Sofik, let's say a person has a Sofik, whether he was Yotzei Kiddush or not, so Kiddush is Kiddush on Shabbos is Deraisa. Kiddush on Yom Tov also, the Rambam holds is Deraisa. Question in the Rishonim, what is Deraisa, the Rabbanan? Well, Kiddush on Shabbos is Deraisa. So you say Sofik Brachas L'Hokel only when the Bracha is the Rabbanan. If it's a Bracha Deraisa, you wouldn't say Sofik Brachas L'Hokel. You would say Sofik Brachas L'Hachmir. But this din, that, so let's say a person ate Kedei Sviya, so he's mukhiyif the benchman at Torah. Then he has a suffix whether he benched or not. So we'd say suffix there. I said, Luchum has to bench over again if he's not sure. But on Rosh Hashanah, and let's say on a Shabbos a Yontif, if a person is mesupik, whether he said, Ritzei Yalav Yov, that's not a din there. I said, the benching is Yotze, even if he didn't say Ritzei Yalav Yov. The benching there, I said, is Yotze. He's not Yotze, the Suda. That's a din there, Rabbanan, to be kaveh, the Suda. As the Suda Shabbos or Suda Yontav, you have to have Kiddush in advance before you make the Suda, and then you have to have mention Ritzei Yalav Yov at the end. That's only the Rabbanan. So that's considered a Sofik Brachas L'Hakam. So that's what the Balatanya Paskins in the Siddur, that if one forgot to say Yalav Yov and benching in the daytime, on Rosh Hashanah, he wouldn't have to repeat the benching because there was such an opinion in the Rosh Hashanah that you don't even have to have a Suda at all.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Nechayodam was a right, so he was Mechutna of the Vilna Gaon. Not exactly, he was Mechutna, one of the children of the Vilna Gaon. But he lived the same time in the Vilna Gaon. He delivered a hesped when the Vilna Gaon passed away. And every so often he quotes something from the Vilna Gaon that we don't have any other source for. And usually the Mishnah Berurah will pick up on it. For example, when we were young children, they told us, maybe they shouldn't have told us this secret, that if you come late to shul and you want to catch up with the tzibur, so you can abridge Pesukah de Zimra. So a lot of people rely on that lechatchila. They come late lechatchila and they abridge Pesukah de Zimra. They just say, Baruch Shama Ashrei En Yishtabach. Yeah, more correct is you should say more than that, but b'dieved. But yeah, it's a Yotze with just saying Ashrei. Machloikis, and that's how he passed him. So the Chayodin quotes in the name of the Vilna Gaon, what if it's Shabbos or Yom Tov? And you don't just say Yishtabach. The bracha of Yishtabach begins with Nishmas Kol Chai. It's a long bracha. The Mishnah in Arve Psochim says, on Pesach night, you have Arve Koisis. In each one of the Koisis, you recite a bracha ala kos. The first kos is Kiddush ala Yain. Second kos is Shag Yolonu. Third kos is Birchas Hamazon ala Yain. And the fourth kos is Birchas Hashir. Birchas Hashir, the Gemara says, is Nishmas Kochai through Yishtabach. It's one long brocha. So that's what the Chayodim quotes from the Vilna Gaon that if a person came late on Shabbos or Yontif and he wants to abridge the Pesukah de Zimra, he can't just abridge it, Baruch Shama Ashrei Yishtabach. I say, Baruch Shama Ashrei, and then Nishmas Kol Chai through Yishtabach. It's one long bracha that begins from Nishmas Kol Chai. So the Chayyad marries so often. Mishnah Berurah quotes that from the Chayyad, the Mishem Agra. So here also the Chayyadim quotes in the name of the Vilna Gaon. And let's say I'm going to a wedding, and the wedding is going to be in the afternoon, 1:30 in the afternoon. You can already daven mincha these days, and the wedding is going to take a couple of hours. It's a suda gedola. It's going to take quite a few hours. There's another wedding scheduled there, so the first wedding is going to have to be over by, let's say, by 6 o'clock. So 6 o'clock, there's still plenty of time to daven mincha. The shkia is not till later. But still, that's a suda gedola. It's going to take a few hours. So the din is, you're not permitted to eat a suda gedola, even if it's only mincha gedola. It's not mincha ktana. Mincha gedola is a half an hour after chatzos. If it's a suda gedola, you're not allowed to eat the suda before you daven mincha. So the Chayyadim quotes in the name of the Vilna Gaon that the sudas that we eat on Yontif are very much more elaborate than on the weekdays, and that has the status of a suda gedola. So if they finish davening like a yeshiva every year on Rosh Hashanah, they finish davening after it's already higir's man mincha. So Rabban Lichtenstein introduced, when he still used to live in Washington Heights, introduced that we should follow that chayyadam b'shem negro, and we should all daven mincha. So right after they finish musaf, they daven mincha. Usually on Rosh Hashanah, after Musaf, you don't say Avinu Malkeinu, because everybody's in a rush, everybody's hungry. But then after Mincha, you say Avinu Malkeinu, because everybody ate already, and you rested up, and then you daven Mincha later. But if you're going to daven Mincha right after Musaf, before you go home, so it's a Kal Vachomer. If you leave at Avinu Malkeinu on Rosh Hashanah after Musaf, because everybody's hungry, then if you're going to daven mincha right after Musa, before you go home to eat, you're going to be hungrier. It's going to be another 20 minutes later till you finish davening mincha. So you leave at Avinu Malkeinu then also. Even in the Siddur, it's printed, that in the Machzor, it's printed, you say Avinu Malkeinu after mincha. That's if you're davening mincha later. But if you daven mincha after Musa, so for sure you leave out the Avinu Malkeinu. So the... that's the meaning of the yeshiva, that they daven mincha right after they finish musaf. The Gemara has a discussion of an interesting topic. If you have Shabbos next to Yontif, do you say it's one kedusha, kedusha achas, or it's shtei kedushas? What's the shaila? What does it mean? So take, for example, beitzu shenolda b'yontif, beitzu shenolda b'shabbos. The Gemara says, is muktzah. You're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to handle it. But it's only muktzah that day. The next day, ois Shabbos, ois Yontif, so it's not. What if you have Shabbos next to Yontif, one after the other, whether Shabbos is first, Shabbos the second, doesn't make a difference. Do you say that it's one Kedusha Sayyam for 48 hours, and all the bazeh, asura bazeh, beitzah shenold on the first day, is still muktzah, not allowed to eat it on the second day? Or you say, no, it's shtei kedushas. The first yontif, first day is over, and it was only muktzah on the first day, and you're permitted to eat it on the second day. So the Rambam writes an original chiddush in Hilchas Erevin. The machloikas and the Gemara is only yontif next to Shabbos, lefanav aliachrav, because Yontif has a heterach on nefesh and Shabbos doesn't. So the kedushas are not similar. They're different. So that's a machlokes. Does it lend itself to say, Shabbos of Yontif, asmuchem zelazeh, does it lend itself to say that it's kedusha achas? What if I have Yom Kippur next to Shabbos? On our calendar, the way it was fixed, when Hillel Sheni, during the lifetime of Abai Verove, who lived in Bavel, so their counterparts in Eretz Yisrael, made the luach kavua. So we know 1,000 years in advance when Rosh Hashanah, what day of the week Rosh Hashanah is going to fall out. Shasof Shin Pehei, Pevop, Pezat, we know in advance already. So in our calendar, it never turns out like that. we have a couple of considerations. One of the considerations is you don't want to have 2 days in a row, Shabbos and Yom Kippur, where we're not going to bury any mason. We bury mason on Yontav Rishon al Yedei Nochrim and on Yontav Sheni al Yedei Yisrael if Nochrim are not available. But on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, we don't bury any mason. So Mishum Messiah, we don't want to have 2 days in a row. So we never have Yom Kippur, never falls out, not on Friday and not on Shabbos. But before they established the Luach Kavua by Hillel Hasheni, the days of Abai Verove, it was possible. The Mishnayos and Shabbos talk about the possibility of Yom Kippur falling out on Friday or Sunday. So the Rambam writes, Yeroi Li, in the end of Hilchos Erev and Yeroi Li, the Shabbos next to Yom Kippur, they have the same Kedushas Hayayim. They're both also b'malach, and there's no heterach on that fish at all. There's a difference on Yom Kippur. You fast on a Shabbos, you're not allowed to fast. Yeah, there are a few differences. But basically, the Kedushas Hayayim has to do with the Issa Malacha. So since they have the same level of Kedushas Hayayim, everyone would agree that that would be Kedushas Achas. Interesting. In other words, whenever possible, we say it should be Kedushas Achas. We pass on Shabbos next to Yontif, there was a Machlokes Satanoim and the Mishnayos and Erevin. The Psak Halacha was that the Shtei Kedushas, why? Because it can't be Kedushas Achas. Because on Yontif, there's a Heterach on Nefesh, and the Kedushas are incommensurate. So you can't say Kedushas Achas. Whenever it's possible, then do say Kedushas Achas. So let's say Yontif Sheni Shel Golias. So Rashi interprets in the Gemara, before the days of Abai Verov, in the days of the earlier Amoraim, when there was what we call a real Sveka de Yoimam, so the Gemara has a machlokes whether the first day Yontif, the second day Yontif, is Kedusha Achas or Shtei Kedushit. So Rashi interprets what's the Shaila, whether observance of Yontif Sheni when there was a Sveka de Yoimam, and now there is no Sveka de Yoimam. Now we know that the first day is really Yontif, and it's only they sent the letter from Eretz Yisrael, Yisrael, B'minig Abaseich Me'edechem. We should still continue the practice of our ancestors observe 2 days Yontif. But when they had what we call a real Sveka the Yoma, the Rashi learns in the Gemara that was a machlokes by the Yontif Sheni was a takana de Rabbanan or a minig. So Rashi says if it's only a minig, that it can't blend in with Yontif Rishon to be Kedusha Achas. This is a din and this is a minig. But if Yontif Sheni is a real din de Rabbanan, it's not a din de Raisa. Yontif Sheni is the real din, so then maybe it does blend in. Maybe you should say Kedusha Achas. What's this issue, whether Kedusha Achas or Shtei Kedushas? So on Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, it's a real din, and we say it's Kedusha Achas. First day Rosh Hashanah, second day Rosh Hashanah is Kedusha Achas. So in Olda Bazeh, Asura Bazeh, Beit Shanol, then the first day will be also on the second day. If you have Yontif Sheni Shel Golias, that's Mimonam Shach. Only one day is Kodesh. You can't have both days. Yontav Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah is Mashi Kitshal Pi Ariya. Sometimes the both days will be Teres Vaday. If Bo Hedem and Amin Chalamayla, Noga Mosei Yom Kodesh and Lamocha Kodesh, both days are Rosh Hashanah. So we observe all the Yom Tevim today according to the Minig Avisayna Biadenu. Sometimes they observe the Rosh Hashanah and both days Bavaday Kodesh. So that's what we observe it today. So it's Kedusha Achas. So Rashi calls it Yoyma Arichto. So Rav Soloveitchik was wondering, what does that mean, Yoyma Arichto? What do you mean, a long day? When the sun sets, that's the end of the day. Why did Rashi call it Yoyma Arichto? He should have called, the Gemara calls it Kedusha Achas. Why did Rashi switch to Losh Yoyma Arichto? Rav Soloveitchik assumed the following. There's a question, what's mechayev us to observe Kedushas HaShabbos, that you're not allowed to do malocha on Shabbos? So the pashtus maybe is every second of Shabbos has a Kedushas HaYoyim, and every moment of Shabbos has a Kedusha that asas b'malocha. That's what the Rosh says. And the Rosh quotes the Maram Rutenberg, his Rebbe, who didn't say like that. And the Rosh doesn't understand why the Rebbe said otherwise. The Rebbe said, when you experience the Ben Hashmashas of Tchila Shabbos, that's Machayev you to observe the rest of Shabbos. Where do you have this Rosh? Machleg is the Rosh and the Maram Rutenberg in the end of Moed Katan. The third Moed Katan, Masech Shabbos, all about Shabbos. The Rebbe is all about Yontif. Masech Moed Katan is about Chalamoid, the miniature, the little Yontif. Ma'id Katan means Chol HaMoed, Chol Shel Moed. So the last perek in Ma'id Katan is all about Hilchos Avelus. What happens if someone dies on Erev Yontif, on Yontif, on Yontif Shenu Shel Golus? What's the story with Kvurim? What's the story with Avelus? They have all the dinim of Avelus. On the end, the last Rosh in Maseches Ma'id Katan quotes the following discussion. We usually have a din that children, when they're old enough to understand what a mitzvah is all about, there's a din of chinuch. So the parents have to be mechanach them that they should absorb all the mitzvahs of the Torah. So there was a big machloikis in the days of the Gaonim. Is there a chinuch for avelus? A relative died, a parent died, a sibling died. So is there a din of chinuch that children before bar mitzvah have to observe avelus? The accepted psak and shulchan aruch is that not. There's no din of avelus. If the child understands what it means that a parent died and he's all distressed, he doesn't want to go to school, doesn't want to go to cheder, okay, say, let him stay home, let him cry. But let's say he doesn't appreciate yet what it means. He's so young, he knows his father died, he doesn't know what that means. He's going to be a yosem, he's not going to have a parnosa, it's going to be a lot of problems. So if he doesn't understand it and he wants to go to cheder, so strictly speaking, even if it's a day before his bar mitzvah, if he's a katan, so he doesn't have to observe avelus. There's no chinuch for avelus. That's the psak and shulchan aruch. So the Maharam Rutenberg has a machlokes with the Rosh. What's the din if the child becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of shloshim? All the other relatives who had passed bar mitzvah began to observe shiva right away after the kvura, and the child, one of the relatives, is a child before bar mitzvah, so there's no chinuch. So the din is that the Chiyav Avelus only begins when you have Shmiya. The Shmua Kroiva, Shmua Rechoika. Shmua Kroiva means if the person found out today when someone dies, so they call up on the phone, Arba Kampus Horitz, everybody knows within 10 minutes that a relative died. They notify everybody. But years ago, they didn't have email, they didn't have telephones. So sometimes it would take years till the person would find out that his relative died. But if he finds out about the death of a relative within Shloshim, after the death, that's called Shmua Kroiva. And Shmua Kroiva, you have to begin observing Shiva. And Shloshim, all the other relatives that were there already finished the Shiva, and towards the end of the Shloshim. And this relative found out 3 weeks later, 3.5 weeks later, 4 weeks later, with the last day of Shloshim, so he has to observe Shiva Shloshim from the day that he found out. What if he found out after Shloshim? That's called Shmua Rechoika. So Shmua Rechoika, Ein in the Hegas Elo Yom Echad Bilvad, you only have to observe Avelus one day, and that one day you can chisel down applying the din Mitzvos Hayom Kekulam. So that's, as soon as he finds out, he should take off his shoes, and he's Noig Avelus Sha'achas and Shain, then he can go take a shower right away. That's called Shmua Rechoika. There was an opinion in Tanoim that it should make a difference between Aviv V'Imo and other relatives, and the Gemara says, we don't paskin like that. We paskin even by Aviv V'Imo, if it's after Shloshim, if it's a Shmua Rechoika, then one does only observes Avelus Yom Echad, and the Yom Echad is Mitzvos Hayom Kekulo, so Sho Achas, and then you call it quits. So the Maharam Rutenberg raises a Shaila, what's the din? A person is a Kotan, and a relative died, a parent died, let's say. So the din is that the kotan not mechuyev to observe, doesn't have to observe avelus. Then he becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of shloshim. So they say, oh, when he becomes bar mitzvah, he's a bar das. Kozman is a kotan, he's a la bar das. After he becomes bar mitzvah, he's a bar das, even if he's the Vilna Gaon. And before his bar mitzvah, he was a bigger genius than all of the adults after bar mitzvah. But still, al pidin, that's the halacha, kotan is a la bar das. It's not considered as if he never had a shmur kreiva. He heard about the death of a relative, but it doesn't count because there's a lot bar das. But then it becomes by mitzvah within the shloshim. So maybe I should say now it should be like a shmur kreiva, and he has to observe shiva. So that's what the Maharam Rutenberg thinks that is correct. Usually the mechayev of avelus is stimas hagoilo, when the gemar hakvura, and at the time of the stimas hagoilo, the cotton was not, the child was not bar mitzvah yet. So this Stimas HaGoyle, the Gemara HaKfur, was not mechayiv him to observe Avelus at the time of the death, so maybe shouldn't be mechayiv him later. So the Maharam Rutenberg has a Gemara in Yevamos that that's not correct. The Gemara Rambam is talking about Shabbos. The Gemara says there's a hechitimtza that a child becomes bar mitzvah Shabbos afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. How can that be? We usually assume that you become bar mitzvah. Let's say Moshe Rabbeinu is born on Zion Adar. So 13 years later, on Vav Adar, that's the end of the Yud Gimel Shanim. Then on Zion Adar, 13 years later, Zion Adar is the first day of the 14th year. That's called Yud Gimel Shanim V'Yoyim Echad. Doesn't mean he was born on Zion Adar, so 13 years later on Ches Adar, he becomes Bar Mitzvah. That's a mistake that a lot of people make. Rav Soloveitchik would always point that out. The Mishnah Melech points it out. It's a mistake that a lot of people make. They think one was born on Zion Adar, becomes Bar Mitzvah 13 years later on Ches Adar. So they explain, no. 13 years later, on Vav Adar, that's the end of the Yud Gimel Shanim. And the Zion Adar is the first day of the 14th year. So that's called Yud Gimel Shanim. It becomes Bar Mitzvah then. So we usually assume that it becomes Bar Mitzvah at Seisach Kochavim when it begins Zion Adar. So in Shulchan Aruch, that's a big machloikis, Rishayim and Achrayim. Rav Soloveitchik always used to joke about that. He thought that it was a ridiculous opinion. But a lot of Rishayim, a lot of Achrayim hold, based on the Lashon HaGemara, you need Me'es Le'es. That's the Lashon HaGemara, Me'es Le'es. So if Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zion Adar, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he'll become Bar Mitzvah 13 years later on Zion Adar, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You take it literally, Me'es Le'es. But Rav Soloveitchik thought that's not the accepted opinion. But if somebody comes Bar Mitzvah with the Tzeisel Kochavim of the Zion Adar. So the Gemara, but still the Gemara talks about a child becoming Bar Mitzvah Shabbos afternoon at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The Gemara is talking about a different case, that in order to be Bar Mitzvah, you have to have Shonim V'Simonim. You have to be Yud Gimel Shonim V'Yemechad by a boy, and by a girl, Yud Beis Shonim V'Yemechad. And then you have to have Shtei Sairis growing on the Eva Ha'erva. So let's say the Shtei Sairis were not long enough. And on Shabbos, somehow they developed, they sprouted. So the Shtei Sairis came, the child knows it's very far-fetched. Child knows that the Shtei Sairis came 3 o'clock in the afternoon, on Shabbos afternoon. So the Gemara says his obligation to observe Shabbos before 3 o'clock was only mitam chinuch midirabonon. But after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, his obligation to observe Shabbos is min haTorah. And if he'll be mechal Shabbos b'shoigeg, he'll be chayv to bring a chatos. If a katan is mechal Shabbos, he's not chayv to bring a chatos. He's chayv to observe Shabbos only mitam chinuch midirabonon. But if he becomes by mitzvah at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he's chayv to preserve the remainder of Shabbos min haTorah. So the Maram Rutmer raises the question, but the mechayv to observe Shabbos is experiencing Bein HaShmoshes of Tchila Shabbos. And at that time, he was a cotton. So why is he mechuyev ben HaTorah to observe the end of Shabbos, the last few hours after 3 o'clock, if the Mechai was Bein HaShmoshes? So the Maram Rutmak says, you see from the Gemara, that even though the Mechai was when he was still a cotton, the experiencing Bein HaShmoshes can be Mechai the cotton avur le'achazman. So just like you have the cotton experienced Bein HaShmoshes of Tchila Shabbos, that's mechayiv him to observe Shabbos after 3. So to hear, the child was a cotton when they buried the father. The Stimus HaGolel is mechayiv ben Avelus, and the child was a cotton. But the Stimus HaGolel can be mechayiv the child to observe Avelus after he'll become Bar Mitzvah 3.5 weeks later. The kid becomes Bar Mitzvah in the middle of Shloshim, towards the end of Shloshim. He's mechuyev to observe Avelus. And that's the Loshon of the Gemara, the way the Maharam borrows an expression from the Gemara. Ein dicha etzel mitzvah. The Gemara means a little different thing. But here in this context, it means if a child experiences Bein HaShmoshes of Tchilo Shabbos, which is mechayev to observe Shabbos, so it's mechayev him abu lachazman. It's mechayev, the experiencing Bein HaShmoshes of Tchilo Shabbos is mechayev him to observe Shabbos after he'll be maybe Shtei Saris. And the same thing, if the cotton experience the Stimus HaGoylo, it's not Mechayiv him now, it's Mechayiv him Abu Lachazman, if and when he will become Bar Mitzvah within Shloshim, it'll become a Shmur Kreiva, then it'll be Mechayiv to observe the Avelus at that time. So the Rosh quotes this from his Rebbe in the end of Moed Cotton, the very last It's a long essay on the Rosh. And he says, it's not really fair to disagree with the Rebbe after he passed away. The Rebbe was fierce like a lion. Let's say I want to pick a fight with a lion. So I'll wait till the lion dies, and then I'll fight with the lion. Because when the lion is alive, he'll eat me up alive. He'll rip me to pieces. If I pick a fight with a dead lion, of course I'm going to win. So he said, it's not fair. It's not fair. I'm going to disagree with my Rebbe, the Maram Ritmer. The Rebbe passed away already. If the Rebbe would be alive, he could probably rip me to pieces and explain what mistake I'm making. But he says, Torah, he doesn't understand. So the Rosh says, the Mechayev to observe Shabbos is every moment of Shabbos has a Kedusha Sayyim, and the Kedusha Sayyim asks b'malocha. Why did the Rebbe assume that experiencing the Ben HaShemoshes of Tchila Shabbos is Mechayev in the observance of Shabbos? The Rosh disagrees. He thinks every moment of Shabbos. So there was a great Goyen who was killed by the Nazis in the Warsaw Ghetto. After the uprising in the Warsaw Ghetto, he survived. Then they killed him after everything was all over there. So he wrote, he's known as the Kozhiklover Goyen. He used to be the Rav in Kozhiklover before the First World War. Then I think the whole village was destroyed at the time of the war. And when Rav Meir Shapiro, the Lublina Rav, founded Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, he invited this Kozhiklover Goyen, he should be the Rosh Yeshiva. He gave the top shir in Lublina Yeshiva. So in his sefer, he himself was a Talmud of the Sochet Shavu Rebbe, of the Avnei Nezer Sochet Shavu Rebbe. So he writes in his sefer that this was a machloikas between the Sochet Shavu Rebbe and the Chechenover Rebbe, both Chassidish Rebbes. Sochet Shavu Rebbe held like the Maram Rutenberg, and the Chechenover Rebbe held like the Rosh. Whether every moment of Shabbos has Kedusha Sayyam is mechayev to observe Malacha then, or no, experiencing Ben Hashmoshes of Tchilo Shabbos on the level of Daraisa, it's what's mechayev to observe Shabbos. The Rav Soloveitchik always assumed like the Avnei Nezer. When he was younger in Europe, Rav Soloveitchik used to use the Avnei Nezer a lot. Every so often, he would say over a shiur, mamish, paragraph by paragraph, and say over the whole Avnei Nezer. And he had certain expressions, certain ideas that he picked up, a lot of ideas that he picked up from the Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer was a sheer genius. He didn't have any Talmidim who were like that. He had all the brilliant Talmidim. He was a sheer genius. He had Talmidim who tried to imitate him, but you can't imitate a genius. Either you have it or you don't have it. The Rav Soloveitchik enjoyed that genius of the Avnei Nezer. So Rav Soloveitchik liked it because we usually assume Migadis katzoy de ben hashmoshes is katzoy le kuli yamav. Something was muktzah ben hashmoshes, even though the reason for its being muktzah disappears in the middle of Shabbos, it remains muktzah. And same thing for keret. Shabbos, if something was not muktzah in the beginning of Shabbos, it can't become muktzah in the middle of Shabbos. Depends what the case is. Let's say I had an old suit. I wear the suit. It's a tzirisen. It has patches on, I wear the suit. Then I find out in the middle of Shabbos that I won the Irish sweepstakes and I'm a multimillionaire now. So I take the old suit and I throw it in the garbage now. I throw it in the garbage. It should be muktzah, piece of garbage. So the Gemara says, Shabbos hold the ishtarya, hold the hutra. If something, just like if something was muktzah in the beginning of Shabbos, even though by right it should no longer be muktzah, Ben Hashmoshes at the beginning of Shabbos is kaveh for the whole Shabbos. The same thing, there's a din Shabbos hol v'hutra hutra. There are dinim barishu yisayochid. If you had a lechi or a korah on the ruach revius of a mavui in the beginning of Shabbos, so that's matter for the rest of Shabbos. Different opinions in the Tanoim. So the Rav Soloveitchik thought that was called the tikkun rabbanon kein the rashi tikkun. The fact that on the level of the rabbanon things are determined in Ben Hashmoshes shows that that's on the level of their Isa. It's like that. That's the Avnei Nezer's right. He liked that. He liked that shita. So he said, the Gemara calls the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah Kedusha Achas. So Nolda Bezah, Surah Bezah, the Beitzu should hold on the first day, should only be also on the first day, but the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is Kedusha Achas, one long Kedusha Sayyam for 48 hours, so it's still Muktzah on the second day. You can't eat the Beitzu Shanolda. But why does Rashi call it Yom HaRichta? Rav Soloveitchik said, what makes the separation between one day and the other? Today was Monday, and then Monday night is already Yom Shlishi B'Shabbos. They always announce on the radio, the Jewish holidays begin from sundown and go till sundown. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, or Shabbos, all the Jewish, on the Jewish calendar, Vahiyera, Vahivoyker, Ayom Halach Achra Laila, the days all begin at Bein HaShemashes. So if this, when you have 2 days next, let's say you have Shabbos next to Yom Kippur, so Bein HaShemashes of the first day, Asas Bin Malocha. Why doesn't remain us bin malocha liolam void? Bein HaShemashes of Sof Shabbos is Matir. But if right after Shabbos is going to come Yom Kippur, then the Bein HaShemashes is not Matir. We say the first Bein HaShemashes of the first day, 2 days in a row, back to back. First Bein HaShemashes Asas both days, and the Bein HaShemashes at the end of the second day is the Matir. So we're ignoring the Bein HaShemashes in between the two. And that's what separates between one day and the other, the Bein HaShemashes. So that's why Rashi calls it Yom HaRichtot. We treat it as if it were one long day. The second Bein HaShemashes doesn't count. So whenever there's no Bein HaShemashes to be mechalek in the first day and the second day, it's considered like one long day. So that's why Rashi uses the Lashon that is Kedusha Achas. So that's what we say. The 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are Kedusha Achas, the Gemara says, and Rashi calls it Yom HaRichtot. And therefore, Nol de Bazeh, Asur Bazeh, Beitzu Shanold on the first day will be Osir on the second day. So because of this, that the both days are Vaday Kodesh, it's not like Yantav Sheni Shol, Pesel Shavua Sukkis, that is to be Manam Shach, either the first day is Kodesh or the second day is Kodesh. Can't be that both are Kodesh. So you can't say Kedusha Achas by 2 days Yantav Sheni Shol Golis, only by Rosh Hashanah, because there is such a thing. Nogam Osir Yom Kodesh and Lamacha Kodesh. Sometimes both days have a din of Rosh Hashanah Midir Rabbanan. So because of that, there was a big machlokes in the Rishonim, whether the second night of Rosh Hashanah, when you say Kiddush, should you repeat Shachianu? He just had Rosh Hashanah yesterday. He says Shachianu if it's bo mizman lizman. You don't say every morning you put on talis and tefillin. You say Shachianu, you're all excited. Just put on talis and tefillin yesterday. Shabbos, you don't wear tefillin. You don't say Shachianah because you didn't wear tefillin for 1 day. Shabbos and Yom Tov, you don't wear tefillin. You don't say Shachianah because you missed for a week. So a lot of people don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. You say Shachianah if you haven't observed this mitzvah in a long time. But if you just blew shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, does it make sense to say Shachianah on the second day? So that's a big machlokes of Rishonim. Big machlokes. So some hold that since it's Yom HaRichtot, it's Kedusha Achas, and it's both Avadai Kodesh. So we just did the mitzvah yesterday. So we're not so excited about doing again the same mitzvah now. So you don't say Shechyonu, not in the Kiddush, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and not when you blow the shofar, unless the first day Rosh Hashanah was Shabbos, and then we didn't blow shofar on Shabbos. So the second day of Rosh Hashanah is the first time we're blowing shofar. Chodesh Elul, we'll blow shofar, that's only a minik. And we haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Tkir Shofar in a year, since last Rosh Hashanah. So that requires Shechyonu. So that's a machlokes, but they say Shechyonu. So the Maharam Rutenberg lived at the end of the Tkufa of Balei HaTosis, many generations later. The original Balei HaTosis by Rashi's grandchildren, the Rabbi Natam and the Rashbam. Rashbam is the older brother, the Rabbi Natam is the younger brother. Rashbam learned by Rashi. Rabbi Natam is a little boy when Rashi passed away. So the original Balei HaTosis were mainly the Einikloch of Rashi and the grandchildren. The Ri was a nephew of the Rabbi Natan. The world Rashi's Einiklach. So in the Maram Rutmer was many generations later. So the Mishkan Es Yankiv has a tshuva that he sent to the Beis Ephraim. That had a big machlokes about Erevin. Mishkan Es Yankiv was a Litvish. He learned in Valozhin. He was from the early Talmidim. Reb Chaim Valozhiner in the early 1800s, very beginning of the 1802 or something like that. And so he was gunning out to Aser Ole Reuven in Europe. And Beis Ephraim was a Galatziana, Reb Ephraim was on Magolas, and he defends the practice that they make a Reuven all over. So in that tshuva that the Mishkan Es Yankiv sent to the Beis Ephraim, he has a footnote that the tshuvas are always written in Rashi script, And the footnotes are written in bold letters, heavy print, and in block letters instead of Rashi script, printed in block letters. So you can find it easily if you find that tshuva about the Eruvin. So he says, the Marm Rutenberg is Yadua. He lived at the time that there was a new theme was introduced into Psak Halacha by the Hasidei Ashkenaz, that you should try to do things in such a way to satisfy all the opinions. Not just Paskan Laktosis and Fartek. Try to satisfy the Rambam Shita, try to satisfy the Rashi Shita, try to satisfy all the Shitas. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote 12 or 13 cases in the Arba Chalka Shulchan Aruch where the Marm Rutenberg suggested such an idea. They should do things in such a way to satisfy all the opinions. So that's why it says the second night Rosh Hashanah, when you say Kiddush, you should have a Beged Chodesh or a Pri Chodesh. So the Shechionah shouldn't be a Brach Levatola. And the same thing when the Baltikeh blows Shofar on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, it's a question whether he should say Shechionah. So like in Broyers, down the block, I live down the block, Broyers, they follow all the Minhagei Sfarad. So they don't say Shechionah, Mikra Megillah, Purim in the morning. They just read the Megillah last night, so they don't say Shechionah. They don't say Shechionah on the Kiyah Shofar on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, unless the first day was on Shabbos, and they didn't blow Shofar at all. So in order to make, so we paskin that you do say Shechionah. But there's a chashash, maybe it'll be a brach levatola. According to some Rishonim, it'll be a brach levatola. So the Hasidi Ashkenaz introduced this kind of a hanhage, try to do things in such a way to satisfy all the opinions. So that was the Marm Rutenberg's takana. They quote from him, you should take a pre-chodesh or a beged chodesh, so it shouldn't be a brach levatola. So strictly speaking, it doesn't really solve the whole problem. Let's say a person's going to say, Asher Kedushan is the son of Lishma, called Shofar, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Then he says, Shalosh Sani Goy, Shalosh Sani Ovid. Then he blows Shofar. So the Bruch of Shechionah, if it doesn't belong there, is clearly a hefsik. And same thing in Kiddush. If you're not supposed to say Shechionah on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, and you say Shechionah, it's a hefsik over there, even if it's not a Bruch of Atol, even if you have a Beged Chodesh or a Pi Chodesh. But the Shechionah doesn't belong over there in between the Kiddush and the drinking of the wine. So really, it doesn't solve the whole problem. It just solves the problem. It shouldn't be a Bracha Levatola. The Marm Rutten was just concerned about Bracha Levatola. So he said, if you have a Pi Chodesh, a Beged Chodesh, it won't be a Bracha Levatola. But it doesn't solve all the problems. It's still, if you hold, you're not supposed to say Shechionah, then it's a Hefsik. But that we can't do anything about that. One of the great Tzadikim, the Mincha Soluza, is a Shadus Tshuvas about the Munkache Rebbe. Very nice Shadus Tshuvas, very, very reasonable. The only Tshuvas that are Shvach are the anti-Zionist Tshuvas. When he writes his Tainus against the Zionist movement, those are not so strong at all. But all the other Tshuvas are normal, regular Tshuvas. He got so carried away with his anti-Zionist position. Those tshuvas are the weakest and the safer. So the Mincha Soluza had his own hanhagas a lot of times different. So he felt that it's a bizoyan, the Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is such an important day. Malchius would declare HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam HaRishon, Vaitzav Hashem Elokim Alo Adam. That's when he started teaching Adam HaRishon the Sheish Mitzvahs, before the seventh mitzvah was given. And that's when every year we renew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu became a melech only after created Adam HaRishon, because we have an expression, a melech b'lo yam. You can't be a melech unless you're a king over a human being. So Adam HaRishon, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon on the sixth day of Sheshes Mei Breshes, Azay Melech Shemon Ikra, after he created Adam, then he became a melech, because if a melech b'lo yom, if he doesn't have any nation, he can't be called a melech. So every year, we in the Kabbalah Kodesh Baruch Hu are new as a melech. So the themes of Rosh Hashanah are so lofty and so elegant. The Mincha Soluza, the Minkacher, thought that it's a bizoyan to Rosh Hashanah to do it like the Marm Rutenberg, to have a Beged Chodesh or a Pri Chodesh to enable you to say Shechionah. You have a Pri Chodesh that you never heard of. My wife picks out some kind of a fruit that we never heard of, that we never saw, that we never will see in the future. And that enables us to say Shachrono. The day is so lofty, we should be able to say Shachrono without that. So his practice was, he didn't hold from this. He didn't do this meaning of the Maharam Rutenberg. He felt that it's a bizoyan to Rosh Hashanah. No. He had a lot of different hanhoges, lahaka, lahachma, everything was different by him. He had a lot of different things. Our, by the Ashkenazim, the common practice is that we don't duchen all year long. Even though the Gemara said the kohanim are mechuyev to duchen at least once a day, every day, we only duchen on Yomim Tovim, because you're only supposed to duchen when you're in a happy mood. Tov, tov, ayin, hu yivorech. You have to be in a happy mood. So they say that the Jews in Golos are not in Eretz, so they duchen every day. And the Jews live in Golos are never happy. On Yontav, we relax a little bit, so then we're happy. What do you mean, hayitochen, we're mevatla mitzvah? If it's a mitzvah in a Torah that the Kohanim have to duchen once a day, every day, how come we're mevatla mitzvah? So the answer is, strictly speaking, we're not mevatla mitzvah. Strictly speaking, the mitzvah of duchening is only required of the Kohanim when the tzibur requests of them to give a bracha. So all year long, our practice is we don't ask them. On Shalosh Shigolim and on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we say, Kohanim, the Chazan screams out, Kohanim, we want you to give us a bracha, so then they're mechuyev to give a bracha. But all year long, we don't ask them to give a bracha. That's based on the pasuk, Kosavocha is B'nai Yisrael, or Mor Lohem. So the Pshuto Shal Mikra is Kosavocha, the Kohanim should give a bracha to B'nai Yisrael, or Mor Lohem, the Kohanim should say to the Tzibur, Yivrech Hashem Yishmurecha, Yor Hashem Panavelecha, etc. The Torah Shebal Peh has a totally opposite translation of the words of the pasuk. Pshuto shel mikra amar lahem means the Kohanim should say Yivarechecha Yoyer Yisa to the Tzibur. And the Torah Shebal Peh has an additional level of interpretation just the opposite from the Pshuto shel mikra. Because Baruch Hu B'nai Yisrael amar lahem, when the Tzibur requests of the Kohanim, Pshuto shel mikra amar lahem, the Kohanim should say to the Tzibur, Yivarechecha Yoyer Yisa. And the Torah Shebal Peh says the Kohanim should Kosavachu, Amor Lahem, the Targum Onkelos writes, Katemer Lahon, when the Tzibur will request the Bracha, then the Kohanim are obligated. So all year long, we don't request the Bracha. So they're not obligated. But it's still, it's a difficult minig. It's a difficult minig. We left out a mitzvah. Why shouldn't we do the mitzvah every day? The Sfardim, many Sfardim, duchen every day of the year. They duchen all the time. So one of the dinim of duchening, we're going to duchen on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Yontif, Sukkot. One of the dinim of duchening that many people don't observe is that when you duchen, it's supposed to be panim keneged panim. It's supposed to be, the tzibur is supposed to be facing the kohanim. So because the Gemara says it's not proper to look at the hands of the kohanim, so that's why many are so nervous about not looking at the hands of the kohanim. So they turn around and they have their backs to the kohanim. So the Gemara says, if you're standing in the shul, Am Shebasada is the people who can't come to shul, they live far away, so they are included in the Birchas Kohanim, even though they're not facing the Kohanim Panim, Keneged Panim. Kohanim are in shul, and they're on the farm. Am Shebasada is they live on the farms. But the people in shul, they can easily face the Kohanim, and many of them are afraid to look at the Kohanim, because they're afraid to look at their hands. So they turn around their backs, and they have their backs on many of the women, and there's Nashim, they don't realize. You're not allowed to turn your back to the Kohanim. They're giving you a bracha. You have to face them, panim keneged panim. So that's not proper. In fact, during the lifetime of Rabbi Yosef Karo in the 1500s, that's when they started admitting that the Kohanim cover their hands with the talus. So nobody can see their hands anywhere unless you crawl under the talus. But even if you're standing right in front of the Kohanim, you can't see their hands. So what are people so nervous about? There's nothing to be nervous about. If you have to face the Kohanim, Panim Keneged Panim. About the Shechyanu on the second day, so this story goes, I have it in the biographies of the Vilna Gaon, that he asked his wife on the first Ayanta, what did she get for Shechyanu? So she showed him that she bought grapes. So he said, no, Rosh Hashanah, we have a meaning, we don't eat grapes. And Rosh Hashanah, why? So the Pashta says because the different opinions, the Chet of Eitz Hadas took place on the first day. Adam Rishon was created on the sixth day of Sheshes Mei Bereshis. And Rosh Hashanah, he says, Ayam Tchilas Masecha, means that Rosh Hashanah is the day that Adam Rishon was created. It's not the first day of Sheshes Mei Bereshis. So Ayam Tchilas Masecha means that it's the sixth day of Sheshes Mei Bereshis. And Adam Rishon was instructed not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So what was the Eitz Hadas? The Gemara has different opinions. So one of the opinions in the Gemara was that it was an Esrog. One holds that it was a Chita. The other opinion in the Gemara was that it was grapes. That usually you make wine from grapes and people get drunk. When they're drunk under the influence of alcohol, then they do all kinds of crazy averus. So the Vilna Gaon said, on Rosh Hashanah is one of the Mauritian sin by eating the grapes from the Eitz Hadas. So more correct is we shouldn't eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah. So his wife showed him the grapes that she bought for Shachyanu. So right away he said Shachyanu, even though he wasn't going to eat the grapes. Because Medina de Gemara, the din is that you say Shachyanu when you see the fruit in the store. Even if you're allergic to the fruit, even if you can't afford, you're not going to buy it, you're not going to eat it. We have a meaning. We only say Shachyanu when we're about to eat the new fruit. But many have the meaning yet. You say first Bar Piyu Adama on the vegetable, or Bar Piyu Eitz on the fruit. And then you say Shachyanu in between the Birchas Hanenin and the eating. That's a big question. Is that proper? Maybe it's more correct to say the Shachyanu before the Bar Piyu Adama, before the Bar Piyu Eitz. That's a big question. So the Vilna Gaon didn't follow all of these Minhagim. He followed Dina de Gemara. When you see the Pri Chadosh, you say Shachyanu right away. So when his wife showed him the grapes on the first day Yontif, he said right away Shachyanu. Then the second day he said Shachyanu in the Kiddush. He's not being machmer for any. He said, we don't paskin like that. We paskin la'alocha, even though it's Kedusha Achas. You do say Shachyanu. So shine. Like the Munkatcher. But the Munkatcher did it because he felt that it's a bizarrion to Rosh Hashanah. That you have to have a Pri Chadosh, a Beger Chadosh to enable you to say Rosh Hashanah. Hashanah is such a lofty day, such a high level of Kedushas Hayom. You should have to have a Beger Chodesh, a Pri Chodesh, in order to be able to say Shachyanu. So he thought it's a bizarre thing. And the Vilna Gaon thought, no, we pass on Aloch and say Shachyanu. It's faratik. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote that Rashi sent the Shaila to the Oruch. The Oruch lived in Rome. How did Rashi even know? How did they have any mail delivery? I don't know. So they quote, the Oruch wrote this tshuva to Rabbeinu Shlomo HaTzarfati, and they think that it was Rashi. Rashi sent a shaila to the Oruch, if you have a bris on Rosh Hashanah, when do you perform the bris? So the Oruch sent it back the answer, you do the bris right before Tkiya Shofar. Because it says in the Tfilas, Chor Bris Avram, Akedas Yitzchok. So the Bris Avram is the Bris Mila. Akedas Yitzchok is Shofar. Kozechal Akedas Yitzchok. The ram's horn. Veikach Asayil. Avram Avinu. So Hinayo Achanechas Vastrach Bekarnov. So the horns of the oil were used to blow Shofar. So that's Chor Bris Avram Akedas Yitzchok. So the Primigodim raised a question. What did Rashi do all year long? What was the minig? What is it asking on Rosh Hashanah? When is the normal time when you do a bris mila? So the normal time always is right before Aleinu, at the end of davening, when you finish davening shachris, you're going to say, we have a bris and new masala don't have. So Aleinu Shabech, Shalosan Kigayehu Arot says, we have a bris mila and they don't have. Emishtachm Lahevel Varikim, we only worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't worship Avodah Zarah. So Rashi, the Prima Gaon find, Rashi sent the Shaila to the Oruch because on Rosh Hashanah, we say so many piyutim, we're not going to get to the bris until after Chatzos. And that's a violation of Zrizim Magdim Lemitzus. Zrizim Magdim means you should have it as early as possible in the day. So you should have it on a normal day, right before Aleinu and Shachris. By us, we daven in the big shul, not all the people are going to stay to the bris. So we finish Aleinu and Shir Shal Yom. Whoever leaves, leaves. And then we have the bris and we say Aleinu again after the bris is over. But in smaller villages, everyone's going to participate in the bris. Everybody knows everybody else. So they would have the bris right before Aleinah. But Rosh Hashanah, you're not going to get to Aleinah until way after Chatzos because of all of the piyutim. So that's what Pim Gadim said. That's a violation of Zviz Makdim LeMitzvah. So that's why Rashi felt you should have the bris a little earlier. And that's what the Aruch said, yes. More correct is you should have the bris milah right before Tkiyah Shofar. Many of the, there's a recent practice that each killer picks up Minhagim from the other killers. There's a big mishmash of Minhagim. So in Minig Ashkenaz, the Minig always was, you're not mafsik in between Yishtabach and Yotzeror. You're not supposed to say Tilim there. The Minig, the Magen Avraham, quotes the Arizal who introduced, you should say Shamalas mi mamakim and aseres mei tshuva after Yishtabach, before you say the Kaddish and before you say the Baruch Hu and the Birchas Kriyashma. So the Magen Avraham complains that the Rishonim quote as if there's a passage in the Rishalmi. The Chumash says mi hayish arayare v'racha levav should not serve in the army. If a person is afraid to go to battle, you shouldn't have him fight. So some of the Tanaim said, pshat is, we don't really, most of the Rishonim don't paskan like this. If a person is a balavera, so you don't let him join the army. We don't paskan like that. Most of the Rishonim assume that even if he is a balavera, a yori means afraid. He's afraid to go into battle. So he's gonna ruin the whole discipline in the army. They're all going to be petrified if he's going to serve in the army. But within that opinion that Yorim Aver should be honest, and then there was a further machlokes Satanoim. What if he's very careful? He only violates Averis the Rabbanon. He never violates an Aver deraisa. So do you don't accept him into the army, even though he only violates Averis the Rabbanon? Or no, maybe you don't accept him if he violates Averis deraisa. Averis Abanidu. That's a further machlokes. So the Rishonim quote, as if there's a line in the Yerushalmi, we don't have it in our Yerushalmi, as if there's a line, Hasoch ben yishtabach liyotzer or averi hi biyode v'chozra lehami orche ha-mechama. If someone is mapsik, somebody talks in between yishtabach and yotzer or, that's an averi derabona, it's not an averi deraisa, and it follows that opinion in the Tanoim, in the Mishnah, it's a machlokes ha-Tanoim. If one only is careful only to violate averi derabona, that you also don't accept him in the army. So the Magen Avraham is not happy with this minig that the Arizal introduced. The minig Ashkenaz is that you don't say Shir HaMalas. Only minig Sfard that you say Shir HaMalas. Minig Ashkenaz was they never said Shir HaMalas. The Dogam Levava are the Heoris of the Nerei Yehuda printed on the margin, on the side of the page in the big Shulchan Aruch. So the Dogam Levava has a taina against the Magen Avraham. Why is he complaining about saying Shir HaMalas Mimamakim in Aseres HaMei Tshuva? The Rambam records that there was a minig that after you finish Yishtabach, many had the minig to say Oz Yosher at that time. They didn't say Oz Yosher like we have in the middle of Pesukah Dezimra, because in Baruch Shama we say Shiri David Abdecha Nahalel Chan Shabechacha. Pesukah Dezimra is supposed to be Pesukim from Tehillim. Shiri David Abdecha. So Oz Yosher is from Chumash. So that's not Shiri David Abdecha. So that's why they didn't have it in the middle of Pesukah Dezimra. But the Rambam says Yesh Mekam Shenogim that they say Oz Yosher after Yishtabach before the Kaddish. So just like they said Oz Yosher, what's so bad if we say Shir HaMalas Mimamakim? That's the taina of the Dogal Mevava. So there was a Talmud Chacham who was born in Brisk and he learned by Rav Elvele. He was friendly with Rav Elvele's children. They were brought up together. And he survived the war, and then he went to Eretz Yisrael. He learned by Rav Elvele and Eretz Yisrael also. And he put out two svarim. So one sefer is called Emek Brocha. It's all about Orach Chaim Dike topics. So he comes to answer the taina of the Dogal Mevava. He says, Pesukah Dezimra is all Shebach. You have to start off. So we introduced the Shemana Esrei with the Gimel Rishonis. First three brachas of the Shemana Esrei are Shebach. And then to enhance that Kiyam of Yisadu Adam Shvachai, V'achakach Hispalol, so we say Birchas Kriya Shema before you begin the Shema Nesra. And then to further enhance it, we say Psukah de Zimra before you get to the Birchas Kriya Shema. So if you say Oz Yashir in Psukah de Zimra, or you say Oz Yashir in between Psukah, in between Yishtabach and Yotzerar, that's more Shebach. It's not from Tehillim. So that's why the Rambam never recorded the meaning that we have, that we say Oz Yashir in the middle of Psukah de Zimra. The Rambam records that they said it after Yishtabach. That's not a Hefzik. That's more Yisadar Mishvacho Shalakadosh Baruch Mahakach Hispal. But Shira Malas Mi Ma'amakim, not every Perik in Tehillim is a Shevach. A lot of them are Tfilas, a lot of them are Tfinas, a lot of them are Limud, Musa, other things. So Shira Malas Mi Ma'amakim is a Trina. We say now because of the Mocham and Eretzos and all the shuls all over, they say Shira Malas Mi Ma'amakim every day. That's a Trina. That's not Shevach. So that's why the Dogon, that's why the Magen Avraham held that there was a problem. But really, meaning Ashkenaz is that you don't say Shira Malas at that point. Only the Hasidim picked up the Nusach HaRei. The Misnagdim never said it. But Moshe Feinstein wanted to retain the Chassidish Minig to say Shira Malas Mimamakim, but he didn't want to say it in between Yishtabach and Yotzerar. So they write that his meaning was that he said Shira Malas after Chazaras Hashatz of Shachris, before the Chazan said Kadosh Tiskabel. So you say another Trina. You say, no, like you say, Lekai, Nitzol Lashoni Meirai, after the Tefillah Balachash. So you say, Asher Amalas Meimamakim is another Bakasha, another Tefillah. This coming Shabbos is going to be Shabbos HaHazinu. I remember once I was out of town, and there was a bar mitzvah on Shabbos, not my family, but I happened to be out of town. And there was a bar mitzvah in shul on Shabbos Hazin, and the bar mitzvah boy was a kohen, the father was a kohen, and the grandfather was a kohen. So they wanted three aliyahs to kohanim. So they made hoisofis in the middle of Hazinu. So, and there was a big Talmud Chacham in the shul. I ate afterwards by the home of the Talmud Chacham. I told him it's against the din. The Gemara says, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara, not allowed to make hoisofis in the middle of Hazinu. Hazinu is a poem. So poem. And if you stop in the middle of the stanza and you make a hafsokah, you kill the whole meaning of the poem. So that Rav Soloveitchik thought it may be that it's a din deraisa, that you have to stop exactly where the Levim used to sing Hazinu every week when they brought the Korban Musaf on Shabbos. After the Tam Shal Shachar, they said Mishmishili Amashabbos. And after the Musaf, then they said the Hazinu. So they said the first stanza, the first Shabbos, second stanza, the second Shabbos. The Gemara says, "Kedach shemapsik in kan and beis hamigdash, kach masikem beis haknesses." When you lay in Hazinu, so Rav Soloveitchik thought that may be a din deraisa. You have to lay in kichsovoi. So just like there's a din sometimes called psukah de lepaske Moshe, anan lepaskino, and you're not allowed to be mapsik in the middle of a pasuk, and you're not allowed to be combined two psukim together. And sometimes when you're laying a parsha, we say called parsha dalai paske moisha, non lai paske. Not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of a parsha. Here you're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of a stanza in a poem, because then you're going to kill the poem. That's the one exception to the rule, that in Hazinu you're not allowed to make any hoisofa. That's a real din. Okay, we should all be blessed with a ksivach simateva, a good gedench dark. You have to a lot to pray for the klal Yisrael and for individual people. There's so many sick people in Eretz Yisrael because of the pogrom and because of the Muhammad. It's terrible. We have a lot to daven for the Klav HaLaprat.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.